everyone. Welcome back to the Normal for the Spider podcast. My name is Mel, otherwise known as Mel of Wands, and I am your host. I took a break from uploading last week, and I did that because I just really needed to reevaluate some things. And that's mostly because I've been through a decent amount of loss lately and am finding myself needing more space to grieve. So what really is grief? When you Google grief, as I just did, this little blurb that comes up from Wikipedia says, grief is the response to the loss of something deemed important, particularly to the loss of someone or some living thing that has died, to which a bond or affection was formed. Now, of course, most of us are familiar with grief in the sense of death. I think that's where we first hear it as children. You know, many of us have experienced familial deaths and talked about grieving in that context. But I do appreciate that this definition also mentions loss, because grief is certainly something you will feel not just when somebody dies. Grief is something you will feel after losing an opportunity, a friend, a romantic partner, any of those major losses. And for those of us who have been abandoned or otherwise lost someone in a grand way and in a way that's very final, it almost does feel like a death. And you certainly do have to go through the process of grief in order to recover from that loss. And I think it's important to recognize when we go through a huge loss that it can remind us of losses that we experienced before. Maybe we go through a death and we're reminded of an abandonment. Maybe we go through an abandonment and we're reminded of a death. Losing someone, no matter the context, can be traumatic, and therefore you can have these trauma response type of reactions, where you're maybe flashing back against your will to these other losses. It's all connected. A new bout of grief will certainly dig up old pain. I experienced a huge loss at the beginning of this year, 2024, and I'm finally feeling ready to talk about it. I was the co-creator and co-host of the podcast Arcane Dames, and in February, it abruptly ended. My co-host and the co-creator of Arcane Dames decided that she no longer wanted to do the podcast and let me know that she wasn't comfortable with me continuing it. I couldn't keep the name. I couldn't keep it going by myself. The people that I've opened up to about this all said the same thing, which was, why did you listen to her? Like, why didn't you just continue Arcane Dames? Why didn't you change the passwords and keep it as your own? I could sit here and explain why that didn't feel morally right to me. Why would I want to do what was done to me? But really, I share that because it brings up an important point, which is you cannot judge how someone grieves. We all do it very differently, and anyone experiencing grief knows that it's one of the most intense things you can go through. So as long as that person is being safe to themselves and others, it's really not anyone's place to judge how they cope. And that includes the choices they make after the loss. Right when Arcane Dames ended, when the wound was very fresh and open, I did an episode on my Patreon with Shannon from The Tarot Diagnosis. She also obviously hosts a tarot podcast, and her co-host left very abruptly and unexpectedly. So she was a really great support to me during that time. And I'm very grateful that I did that episode because it helped me get over the first initial shock after the loss. I think the hardest part of grief is realizing that something you counted on to be there somewhat permanently for you is gone. Arcane Dames was really successful. We had consistent streams and a really strong community of listeners that appreciated the work we were doing. This is the calling that I waited a really long time to hear. I was that kid in high school that was being pushed to have a career goal, have a dream, pick a major to go to college for. And I just came up with nothing because I didn't feel I wanted to do anything. And in 2020 then, when I had graduated college with a PR degree that I didn't want to use, I remember going to see a career coach and just crying to her because she was trying to get out of me some goal, some aspiration. And I just told her, I can't picture myself doing anything but reading tarot. And then 2 years later, I bucked up. I got out of my hometown where so much trauma had happened to me. And I moved 2 hours away and I pursued Mel of Wands as a business. So when I met this other tarot reader in this new city I just moved to, and we decided to start a podcast together, and then that podcast actually blew up, I was like, wow, everything makes sense. Everything I've been working so hard for is actually happening. And it really was the first time I felt hope and happiness in my career. And in one fell swoop, all of that was gone. There were no warning signs. I was just goddamn shocked. And to me, that's one of the hardest parts of grieving to go through, is just not even understanding that it's real. I don't know how to exist in a world where that thing I cared about so much no longer exists. I had all these past feelings of grief rushing back to me last week when a friend of mine passed away unexpectedly. It was extremely sudden. Nobody saw it coming. I was with him the day before he passed, and he was laughing. And the next morning, he was just gone. There is nothing helpful about disconnecting yourself from that reality. I think it prolongs the suffering. So I think that saying it out loud or having your own goodbye ritual, you know, it doesn't have to be attending a funeral or making a podcast episode about it necessarily, but, you know, some type of conscious declaration that it's gone can be really helpful. And the other thing that has really helped me get through big losses before is working with the tarot. What I love about tarot is the way that it's a language and it speaks for us when we can't find the words. And so when we feel just stunned or shocked or defeated, we can use tarot to explain things and get new perspective on things and to get advice on things. And it's coming from within. It's your hands shuffling the cards. It's your mind focusing your energy into the deck. These are messages from your higher self, from the universe, however you like to frame it. They're messages that you can trust when you maybe feel like you can't trust anyone or anything around you. We talked a little bit about the 5 stages of grief earlier, and that's actually the modality that I translate into a tarot spread. So with the 5 stages of grief as denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, I'm going to pull a card for each of those to basically give me advice on how to navigate each stage. The stages of grief are not linear. So one day you will feel angry. You may wake up the next day in a depression. One day you will even feel like you've accepted it. And then the next day you go back into bargaining. You do not move through it once and emerge fully healed and fully in acceptance of what's happened. So that's why I'm also framing these tarot messages as advice for each phase, rather than asking tarot to predict what each phase is going to be like for me, because the truth is I'm going to be in each phase multiple different times. So asking tarot to identify one way that I'll be for each phase it's just not realistic. And I think that seeking advice or affirmation is a lot more useful here. So with the recent passing of my friend in mind and the other losses that I've been triggered to remember, because that is unfortunately how mental health works, I'm gonna go ahead and pull this spread for myself and talk through it. I got some really good feedback on the Patreon episode where I did this spread, as well as the episode here of Normal for the Spider where I did readings for people that sent them in to me on Instagram about how helpful it is to learn the cards through hearing someone else interpret a reading. So this is vulnerable and intense, but I think it's a really good opportunity for those listening to see the cards I'm about to pull in perspectives they may not have seen them before. So the first card that I pulled for myself when I'm in the denial stage of grief is the Star. Shout out to my first episode on Pearl and the Star. It is my favorite tarot card. It's my favorite tarot card because it's simply about hope. Advice on how to cope with denial. Hope that you will move forward from this loss bravely. Hope that what you've lost can be maybe found again in other ways, that you can get creative about how to cope with it. Creativity is another keyword I like for the star. The essence of this card is finding a way to reach the light at the end of this dark tunnel. And sometimes you gotta get damn creative to do that. And I do also think this is just a really sweet but intense reminder that even on your worst day, when you're most in shock or denial, there is hope for the future to get bright again, and that it won't always be this dark. I don't know. Do you guys like the shuffling ASMR, or should I just cut it out? Let me know. Oof, this card that just flew out for anger. The Nine of Swords. Okay, damn it. This card is really about fighting the worst battle you'll ever fight in your own head. It is you against your anxieties and fears and worries. And I'm using the Gilded Tarot today, and we see a person wrapping their arms around themselves, laying in bed, and just having their window covered by all these swords, but there's still an owl sitting in the corner of the window. And we see a crescent moon in the sky. So to me, this feels like trying to self-preserve, trying to protect, feeling so depleted and so hurt by the world around you that all you can do is turn inward and lay in that bed and lock yourself in that bedroom. And I know what you're thinking, that doesn't sound like anger. But for me, it does, because I have a really hard time expressing my anger. And because I haven't quite figured that one out yet, I go through a lot of it alone. I've been angry at the God I know doesn't exist. I've been angry at the universe. I've been angry at myself for not catching on to red flags sooner. I've been angry at medical professionals I've never even met for not catching things sooner. And I turn that inward. But keep in mind, we're interpreting this card as advice or an affirmation for myself when I'm feeling anger associated with grief. So that owl in the window, owls often represent wisdom, right? He is the earthly grounded wisdom. He is the logic. He is the lesson that waits on the other side of that anger for me. There's a few pieces of advice that come to mind seeing this card for the anger phase. One, maybe let myself have that laying in my bed crying moment. But two, don't let it consume me. I can't stay in there forever. Be aware that it's not a permanent solution to just be angry, but it is healthy to feel it and let it out. And three, ground myself in facts and give myself reality checks. Now moving on to the bargaining phase of grief, which stands out to me as another extremely painful one, much like the shock. Because, I don't know, there's something so, like, desperate and urgent about it when you would just give anything to have back the way it used to be, but you also know that you can't because it doesn't work that way. That's a really heartbreaking place to be. And the card I've pulled for myself for advice when I'm feeling that way is the Ace of Wands. Huge contrast to the last card I pulled, right? Nine of Swords for anger. So it was kind of taking this experience that's often expressed outward and recommending that I experience it by myself a little bit and traverse through that on my own, versus bargaining can be such a deep mental hole that you dig yourself. And then the advice here is an external expression, Ace of Wands. This would represent doing something new, finding a new passion, something hands-on, and it might be quick and fleeting, but it'll still be significant, and it still has this fun, high energy to it. So if I start to bargain, I am gonna go get my hands on something new. I am literally gonna sit myself down and do an arts and crafts project. I am gonna pursue a new work endeavor. I am gonna find someone new to make out with. I don't know, okay? But the point here is to dive headfirst into something that does spark some type of excitement. And it's actually heartwarming to see this now, because my Ace of Wands moment in the bargaining phase is what led me to creating Normal for the Spider. And I was scared, and I was still wishing that I could have Arcane Dames back, but this gave me something new and fun to focus on and to look forward to. So the more you have to look forward to in your future, the less you feel the urge to bargain for the past back. Guys, this spread is no fucking joke. For the depression stage of grief, I pulled myself the moon card. If you listened to Arcane Dames, I have beef with the moon card, okay? It has come up in my past for some really deceitful people and messed up situations. So I've always had that predisposed notion that the moon hides things that shouldn't be hidden. It hides things from you that you need to face. And so therefore there's this feeling for me when the moon card comes out of like imminent danger. And I think what I'm learning as I reframe the moon card and see it for its significance and its beauty instead of something to reject, I realize that yeah, the depression is going to bring up stuff that was under the surface, hiding in my subconscious or unconscious, stuff that I have stifled deep down within me and pushed away and not dealt with. And the reason that can be beautiful is simply because if you're not dealing with it, you're not healing from it. You cannot just bottle stuff up and hope that it disappears. It just doesn't work that way. And the moon is a big shadow work card. So this shows me that in my depression, I can use those sad, intense feelings to look within and say, hey, what can I release? What can make me feel lighter if I let go of it? What am I holding on to that doesn't serve me anymore? And if it's a lesson I've already learned, maybe I can stop torturing myself by mulling over it again and again. But I do still think the moon card can represent stuff that other people or institutions are hiding. So I think it can also be giving me the message that the more I find out, the more I discover these mundane truths about why things happened the way they did, the more I can talk back to my depression and be like, this wasn't your fault. You're not going to be faced with loss after loss after loss for the rest of your entire life, and that's it. These things just happen, and it sucks, and it's painful, and it's horrible, but you need to stand up again. Don't shy away from what's hidden. Integrate it and let it inform your experience going forward. Okay, and lastly, I'm gonna pull a card for acceptance. All right, the acceptance card I got for myself is the Two of Pentacles. Now, I actually love this because it's not some grand, happy, all's well that ends well card, like maybe the Ten of Pentacles would have been. This is just the two. We're at the beginning of the suit. Pentacles are about feeling grounded and safe and like physically secure and okay. Feeling like you have things that can't just be taken from you easily. Now, this shows me that I can be accepting of the loss I've experienced even when I'm not totally secure yet. This shows me that acceptance begins with just trying to balance it out. Again, Gilded Tarot, the image is a person juggling two pentacles, and there's kind of this glowing light between them, almost like a rainbow, like a light leak of color. And he kind of stands in front of this bluish ocean, very similar to the water from the moon card. So this is like emerging from the dark depths and the watery intensity of the moon and the depression, standing on my own two feet and just learning to juggle again, not mastering it, but learning, practicing. And I think that is incredible advice for accepting a major loss, because there's going to be a new way of doing things. Your routine, your conversations, your social life, whatever has been affected by this loss is not going to be the same ever again. You're going to find a new way to feel grounded in it, even with the missing piece. And going back to the moon card, it doesn't mean forget about it. It doesn't mean brush it off like it never existed. It means you accept and acknowledge that it's no longer there, but you also accept and acknowledge that you can move forward in a productive, positive way without it. It's possible to move forward without it. It's not going to look perfect. It's not going to be productive and beautiful, maybe at first, but you're doing it, and the doing it is what matters. So for those of you who are struggling with grief, I highly recommend pulling this spread for yourself, or maybe offering to pull this spread for someone else in your life that is grief-stricken at the moment, if they would feel comforted by it. And yeah, this has just been an extremely useful thing for me that I've used several different times. So it's a tried and true way of mine to take care of myself through talking to my tarot cards. Thank you, every single one of you, for listening to this episode of Normal for the Spider. If you would like to hear weekly bonus episodes and support me as a creator, please subscribe to patreon.com/mellofwands. I have a few differently priced tier options with varying degrees of perks, so definitely go check that out. If you're enjoying this podcast, feel free to follow or subscribe and leave a review. And all my links will be down below in the show notes. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.